Welcome to Conversations with Creative Waco, the show that brings you the stories and voices shaping the creative landscape of Central Texas. I'm your host, Fiona Bond. As February draws to a close and we step into March, there is real creative momentum building in our city. Today's episode is around empowered storytelling, how we tell our stories on screen, how we build shared structures with our hands, and how creativity becomes transformational when participation is invited across the community. In our first half, I'll be joined by Dr. Tyra Lindsay Warren, founder and director of the Waco Family and Faith International Film Festival. Then in our second half, we'll be talking to Doreen Ravenscroft, director of Cultural Arts of Waco, and internationally recognized architectural designer Noah Haim, visiting from the Netherlands. She's bringing a hands-on geometric installation to the Bledsoe Miller STEAM Center this week. Let's begin with film and the power of narrative and music. My first guest is a woman who wears many hats, literally and metaphorically. Scholar, musician, entrepreneur, cultural leader, and mom. Dr. Tyra Lindsay Warren is Clinical Associate Professor of Marketing at Baylor University and Director of Industry Relations and Experiential Learning in the Hankamer School of Business. She is a nationally recognized scholar in multicultural marketing and media representation. She's also a jazz musician and singer, co-owns Marie's Wine Bar with her husband, Sydney, and she's the visionary founder and director of the Waco Family and Faith International Film Festival, now in its seventh year. Tyra, welcome back to Conversations with Creative Waco.
Thank you. Thank you. Wonderful to be here.
You have been busy. You always are. The yes. Festival's mission, though, is to empower the creative spirit. And you seem to me to be somebody who embodies the creative spirit.
Oh, thank you.
You serve with heart, celebrate all. Where did that vision begin for this festival?
What a great question. I had been producing international film festivals since 2012, started with Bishop T.D. Jakes and his MegaFest global event that in 2012 added a film festival component, and I was hired to be one of the co-producers and then eventually lead producer of that. And I did three festivals with him, 2013, 2015, 2017, then in Cincinnati, Ohio, my team and I were hired to do the Over the Rhine International Film Festival. And through all of these film festival experiences, from the development, the creation, the curation, and then the marketing of them in the various different cities, I saw how film festivals can truly celebrate our shared humanity. The creatives, meaning the directors, the writers, love being in community with audiences and having their film screened by audiences. You know, it's a family and faith film festival, but it's still a film festival. Film is sexy, right? People like to be around film and filmmakers and things of that nature. So the audiences I observed through my experiences loved being in that community. So
you get to be in the room where it happens.
Exactly. Right? Yes. Exactly. Yeah. So when I wanted to develop a mission for this Waco Film Festival in 2019, when we first started thinking about it, and you were around because
I remember some of those conversations.
Dropping ideas on you. I wanted a mission that embodied all that film festivals can do, because I did see some type of lack with those other film festivals as it related to service. So that's where our mission derived from, empowering the creative spirit, which all film festivals do, but serve with heart, truly give back to the community. And we not only do that with this film festival, but our annual backpack drive that we give away
hundreds
of backpacks to families and school supplies. We're past 4,000 backpacks that we have distributed since 2020.
That's amazing.
It's a blessing. Yeah. But yes, so serving with heart and then celebrating all, because I'm so proud that this film festival shows male filmmakers equally as female filmmakers. That doesn't happen all the time. Film is a male-driven industry.
Male-dominated.
Yes, male-dominated. So a lot of women get left out. And this particular film festival shines a light on all types of filmmakers, not only in the U.S., but around the world. So we're not only celebrating filmmakers, all filmmakers, but all audiences and all consumers. No matter what you look like, no matter your economic level, you can come to this film festival and be seen and celebrated.
You can come to Waco, which is, that's great for our community too. I think it's empowering not just for the filmmaking community more broadly, but for our community.
Yes.
So I love the creativity that it's ignited here.
Thank you.
What are you most looking forward to in this year's festival?
Just this new theme. When the team and I were brainstorming, I wanted to do something different this year. And my head of production, Vachelle Jones, said, what about some kind of music something? And so we started talking about that. And so we have a theme this year. It's the first time, a celebration of music. So we really curated this film festival to highlight the power of music, music as it moves the narrative, the storytelling along, music as being the sole feature of the movie, music as in bringing in Teddy Riley, the Grammy Award winning writer, producer. He wrote Remember the Times by Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
I always keep saying, do you remember that young man by the name of Michael Jackson? Anybody? But Mr. Riley wrote Michael Jackson's Remember the Times. But then locally, Texas Music Cafe. So all the films will be screened at the Texas Music Cafe's newest venue.
That
so
is fantastic.
Just really, really celebrating music as much as we can. And then our closing night movie is celebrating Waco's hip hop scene was created by Lindsay Lipman.
Oh, yes.
The Channel 6 anchor. And hopefully she will be there for the talk back.
That's
and
a
DJ
great film.
Precise.
Yes.
But just wonderful message. And just so we can celebrate our music scene here, our music scene nationally, and those who make it and create it.
Waco is becoming more and more a music city, a city that's known for its music, a place where musicians can actually get a foothold in the music industry.
Definitely.
There are many more ways that musicians can make it.
Right.
And as a musician yourself, I love that you are bringing this kind of lens through which to see film. I know personally, when I watch a movie, I've done that experiment thing where you watch the same scene with different music behind it.
Okay.
And it completely changes
totally.
How you feel when you watch the scene, even if the words are the same. I know our symphony has started experimenting with doing live symphony to the screening of movies, too.
Yes.
Which is such a thrilling experience. So I love that you're digging into something which I think our community is very engaged with.
Thank you. That's music brilliant. Is for all, you know, and we're celebrating all types of music in this festival. So I hope, you know, the community will come out. I keep saying in interviews, if you see me, don't worry about the $5 ticket price because I can't go lower than $5. But if you see me, you know, at Texas Music Cafe, I will probably just let you in because it's not really about...
There's an offer.
Right. It's not selling tickets. It's about just getting everybody in and celebrating that shared experience in our humanity of watching the film together, laughing and crying together. I always say, I hope with our film festival, we can open hearts and minds so we can just see each other a little bit better, love on each other, and give each other the benefit of the doubt a little bit more.
Well, you run this festival each year, but you also balance that with an academic full-time position, your own music, with entrepreneurship and motherhood, with your daughter, who is now, well, I think beyond toddler. I mean, she is seeing you do all these different things. What do you hope that she learns from watching her mom juggling so much? And I know that, you know, that must get stressful sometimes, but what do you hope that she's learning from seeing all these multifaceted creative things that you're doing?
Golly jeepers, Fiona, that's such a great question because I'm struggling with the balance of it all. But
we all do.
But at the end of the day, I am in a legacy mindset, trying to continue to build a legacy, create a legacy, build a legacy for Kennedy, my daughter. I just hope she sees that anything and everything is possible as a young girl and as she continues to grow and mature, that it's okay for her to try things. It's okay for her to wear different hats. My mother, I have said in other interviews, was a classical pianist. Mm-hmm. She also was classically trained in voice. And so that was rare, right? In the 1940s, 50s, to see a young, you know, African-American girl excelling in these types of disciplines, but she made it her passion and goal for me to get the same exposure, but take it to another level. Mm. And I hope and wish that for my daughter to see what I have done standing on my mother's shoulders and help her take it to the next level. She has a agent, you know, in Dallas. Wow. For print. Yeah. She was on a cover of a magazine last December.
I saw that. She looked adorable.
Thank you. So, you know, I'm doing my best to already help her take that to another level. But the agent she's with, Kim Dawson, talent agency, but she was introduced to them through one of our filmmakers through the Waco Wow. Family and Faith International Film Festival. So it's all interesting how relationships and access in this film festival can really make a difference in people's lives.
I have heard you speaking so highly of your mother and how she was the inspiration to so much of what you do. Mm-hmm. I can imagine a day where your daughter is saying the same about you. With, you know, watching you juggling all those things. Just,
Thank you.
I can absolutely see that.
And, you know, I also wanted to share, because I didn't get to say this in your first question, just going back to just the impact of the film festival. I know you're aware of the impact of just festivals on the economic development of a community, but our festival is already doing that. You know, I believe our filmmakers that we brought in 2020,
yes,
Vision
Vehicle
Studios.
Who are now making films here in Waco.
Yes, they made their fifth film last October, Waco-based. They're hiring Waco people, bringing folks
They're
in, staying
at
our hotels. So this film festival is impacting our economic development here in the city in a positive way. And I'm very proud of that.
We now have an ecosystem of filmmaking. And
yes.
I know we were so delighted to see those new incentives for film production in Texas come into the legislative session last year.
Yep.
And that is just going to rocket fuel our filmmaking in Waco.
Yes,
that's the hope. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for being part of that ecosystem. If people want to come to the festival, it runs from March 5th to 7th, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they can show up and get a ticket on the door. Or if they see you, apparently they
can just
come,
come on in.
That's great. And then some of the parties and other elements will be at Marie's.
Definitely. Marie's Wine Bar. So all the receptions and the after parties, our comedy show, closing night parties, the book signings with Mr. Riley, as well as the book signing of Good Daughtering by Dr. Allison Alford, who's been a longstanding host committee member for us. That's going to be at Marie's. But yes, WacoFilmFest.org is our website. And I just also have to thank Creative Waco for being just a fantastic champion of us and supporter of us since day one in 2020.
We're honored to do it.
Thank you.
Well, Dr. Tyra Lindsay Warren, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
Really excited for the festival, and it coincides with our first Friday as well.
Oh, does it?
This month. So come downtown, experience all the things, and there will be so much going on, and we really look forward to it. Thank you so much for bringing the festival
Fiona.
To Waco.
Thank you. It's going to be a great weekend.
It really will. The 7th annual Waco Family and Faith International Film Festival runs March 5th to 7th. You find schedules and tickets at wacofilmfest.org. You're listening to KWBU, Waco's NPR station, and this is Conversations with Creative Waco. Now here's David Smith with David and Art.
This is 103.3 Waco Public Radio. On today's David and Art, host David Smith takes us inside a jazz club in New York's West Village for a look at what happens when musicians who've never met share a stage and what that kind of collaboration can teach us.
If you've never been to what's called an open mic jazz jam, it's an experience I would encourage you to track down. How it works is that there's a little combo that hosts the gig, and after it plays a handful of tunes, one of its members acts as an MC and starts inviting people up on stage to sit in and play a song or two. Last week, I happened to be in New York City and checked in at a spot down in the West Village called Smalls. It's a great place that lives up to its name. It's very intimate, you could say, but it's perfect for listening to some jazz. Nobody is there for anything else. The house band the day I was there was piano, bass, drums, and trumpet. The trumpet player was named Ryo Sasaki, and he managed the proceedings. The drummer, by the way, was a treat to see. It was 90-year-old Steve Little, who's played with groups from the Duke Ellington Big Band to the combo that did all the music for Sesame Street. He still lays down a solid groove. And he needs to, because one never knows exactly how it's going to hang together when you start inviting other people up to play. There's a catalog of tunes that they know, so the leader picks one, makes sure everybody knows what key they're playing it in, and off they go. Each tune starts off with the melody that all the horn players play. It's referred to as the head. Once they go through that a couple of times, players start taking solos over the chord changes. The pattern is usually 12 bars long, and people will solo for one or two times through. Then the next player will start. The piano, bass, and drums keep everything together in terms of chords and rhythms. More than a few of the horn players who sat in played like they were at an audition of some sort, seeking to impress and win a spot. Without exception, they all had good chops, although truly tasteful or unique playing was not quite as common as one might have wished. By contrast, the leader of the combo was one of the most tasteful trumpet players I've ever heard. When you sit back and ponder what you're witnessing, regardless of the soloists and their varied styles, you're hearing a group that's never played together before being molded into a unit by the music itself. They all start and stop at the same time, but what happens in between is something of an experiment in alchemy. It's a group of diverse elements being transformed into something new. The fusion is what makes it art, and it's what makes the art itself so significant in a fractured society. The experience brings the national motto of the United States, E Pluribus Unum, into tangible reality. And we need that these days, maybe more than ever.
Welcome back to Conversations with Creative Waco on 103.3 FM, Waco's public radio. I'm your host, Fiona Bond, and joining me now are two creative leaders with an innovative new collaboration that I'm excited to learn more about. Doreen Ravenscroft is Director of Cultural Arts of Waco and has been leading arts initiatives in our community for several decades. Last fall, she received a Lifetime Achievement Award from the Association of Fundraising Professionals, recognition of decades spent strengthening Waco's cultural infrastructure, mentoring artists, and championing projects that might otherwise never see the light of day. Her leadership has quietly but powerfully shaped the creative fabric of this city. And alongside her is Noa Haim, founder of Collective Paper Aesthetics, a Rotterdam-based architectural design studio known internationally for immersive, participatory installations built from geometric polyhedrons. Doreen and Noa, welcome to Conversations with Creative Waco.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It is great to have you both here. Well, I'm going to start with Doreen. You have long been a connector and catalyst for creative ideas in Waco. How did this particular collaboration with Noa come about?
Well, really because of Texas Commission on the Arts and their Cultural District Organization grant. You know, it's always a grant that is much larger than some of their regular grants. And so last year, we brought in Brouhaha through the Cultural District grant.
Oh, I remember them. They were so much fun.
And that was kind of a precursor of what we could do if we had a much larger grant and we could bring in something really special. And one of the things we wanted to bring back, having, you know, decided that Waco Cultural Arts Fest had outgrown itself, we wanted to bring each of the festivals back in their own way. Mm-hmm. And so it was the time of Science Fest. And so why not get hold of Robin McDurham at the STEAM Center and ask her if she would be willing to be a partner in an art science project. And, you know, I'm always looking at architectural magazines and researching online, and I discovered an artist in Brisbane, Australia, and her name was Noa Haim. And she was building all these amazing cardboard structures, and it was like, this would work in Waco. And so we were talking, we can't remember if I sent her an email, but within 24 hours, we were talking on the phone. And knowing me, I'm always, oh, I've got this grant and who can I find? And I have like a week or two to get it together. And Noa was absolutely amazing. She put a whole project together. We decided that at the time frame, we wouldn't construct a new die form, that we would use a project that was already in the works for her, but we could bring it to America.
Wonderful.
And to Waco, Texas.
And Doreen, why is it important for Waco to host international creatives like Noah?
I think it's really that we get to know each other, and we really find that as humans, we're all loving the arts and we can all get together. But also, it's bringing a different perspective on the arts. But when you actually see the video on the wall for what Noah's doing, which has been in Japan and Asia and all over Europe and Australia, what you see is the same human beings, is humans being reacting to her work in exactly the same way.
Oh, I love that.
Engaged. Yeah. And
transcends language and
yes,
culture.
Yes, it does. Yeah. And so I think that was my big reason, you know.
It's so playful and also, you know, curiosity provoking. Noah, your work is really fascinating. It merges mathematics, architecture, participation. What's your artistic origin story? How did collective paper aesthetics begin?
By happenstance.
Oh, good. I like that.
So first, thank you for introducing me. And I'm really happy to be in Waco.
Yes,
it's such a fantastic place with so amazing people. And many thanks to Doreen and to Robin and to the lovely team at the STEAM Center who operated together with us.
Mm-hmm. We're thrilled to have you.
So how did it all start? I studied architecture and I worked as an architect. In summer 2008, I went to London for the London Architecture Festival. They liked my graduation work and they thought it can be a good match with a small exhibition which was held in Container.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
About high-rise living. I enjoyed taking this challenge. And together with FabLab in Den Haag, we created 2,000 paper foldable structures in the size of A4, a little bit similar to the one I gave you as a gift. And I went with a big suitcase to London with 2,000 pieces.
Oh, my goodness.
And I wasn't able to finish. And then I contacted a few of my friends and they came to help me. And it was still not possible to finish.
It's a lot of folding.
I think Doreen knows now that folding 2,000 pieces is a lot of work. And then the production team of London Festival of Architecture back then said, why don't we make it a participatory activity? And I thought,
more hands on deck.
And I thought, why not? So we made it. And not that many people came to visit, but two of them were learning and participation curators from the Hayward Gallery, which was running at that time an exhibition named Psycho Buildings. And here we are, almost 20 years later. It became my job. We had projects, indeed, all over the world. I feel very blessed to work with amazing clients and collaborators. Big part of the success of the project is the amazing cardboard. It's a family-owned cardboard production plant. Not production plant, but it's a packaging-owned company in Eindhoven, where they love to make it and they love to remake the die cuts, because every time when we make it, not every time, but the die cuts evolve and you all constantly want to improve things. And also for this project, we created the first plastic version of the hardboard pyramid.
Oh, wow.
So I'm the public face of it, but behind me, there's like 10 to 15 strong Dutchmen who are making it.
I love that. That's, yes, always good to have some strong Dutchmen behind you. And you've done this all over the world. Say a little bit about, you know, some of the places, because I don't think you are usually coming to communities like Waco for your work.
We did have a project in Gainesville, Florida many years ago, which I think in scale is a little bit same different. Mm-hmm. It's a mid-sized town or city, am I supposed to say?
In the States, it normally is city. I mean, you've got two British people here with you, so we can't help.
So I feel like, but usually it is taking place in the bigger cities with one of the nicest or more heartwarm presentations was actually an initiative of our cultural attaché in New York, Mr. Robert Kloss, who had a vision to put the project on Times Square and make it available for everyone.
Wow.
And that was in 2017 in collaboration with Eileen Shaw from the NYC X Design. It was for 3 days available for everyone who's stepping out of the theaters, who's coming to visit the design exhibition, or just passing by, tourists. It was amazing. And it was proving that the project is, the design is for all. Design is for everyone.
And I think everyone loves to get their hands on something tangible that they can make together. There's a real delight in that also.
Indeed. Sometimes I'm also surprised.
So, and it seems that participation is from the public is really central to your work. How is that going to look in Waco? And why is that so important to you? You've told a little bit about how it was accidental, how that element started, but it seems like it's very intentional now.
I think that people love to make and people love what they build.
Yes.
So unlike an object that we can purchase and maybe change our opinion the day after if we like it or not, when we are part of the process, we are in love with the making and with the outcome. And in this case, it's also modular, so you can change it. I mean, in my graduation work, it was, we spoke a lot about how people, how do we make places people love? It's kind of work beyond the theory.
Mm.
But I think, I mean, walking here for a week, I think people love a lot of things, right?
Yeah.
It seems to be that the city is, you have a lot of people in the playground out of the STEAM Center.
Yes, isn't that glorious?
It's amazing.
You have lots of people in Magnolia in the morning, at the entrance to the zoo.
Mm. I love that idea that it is kind of a creative placemaking practice, that when people become participants in building, it empowers them to think about what it is that we build around us, too. I love that from the architecture perspective. How can people engage with this project this week? So it's Friday. I think you're only here for another day or so, but people can still come and get their hands on these structures. They can come and help you create.
Indeed. And they are very welcome to do that. We are at the STEAM Center in the auditorium. We have 3 different kinds of models which they can engage with, which fits to different age groups and motoric skills. So for the young ones, we have foldable plastic models. For their older brothers and sisters, for the parents, we have bigger cardboard.
And for the seniors.
Actually, yesterday we had an amazing couple.
Yes.
Who just joined us for 2 hours. And they passed by, they passed by in the STEAM Center in the afternoon, and they just stayed to work with us for 2 hours.
Wow.
And part of what I enjoy is also the human interaction.
Yes.
Yeah. Like you're doing something and then you have different conversations with different people.
Yes, because when you're doing something with your hands, you can do something else with your mouth and your brain.
And we also have smaller versions of it that people can draw on or take one or two home with them.
So, oh, wow.
This is all in the STEAM Center. What are our thoughts about what, I mean, all the materials belongs to Cultural Arts Waco.
Yes.
Yes, what's going to happen to them?
Remain at the STEAM Center and we can take them apart and then flatten them and then they can use them, you know, for other hands-on projects throughout the year. And Noah has told me that some of the pieces have lasted 2 to 3 years.
Wonderful.
And then, so I'm hoping that, you know, we can have an odd building day.
Yes, because they can be built into different shapes.
Yes. So that will be our experiment in how long can we extend the project by maybe, you know, every 2 or 3 months, we're going to have a building day or something like that.
Oh, I love that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, hands-on learning.
Yeah. And we can use it at Art Place, too.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm.
And our ambition is actually to make the biggest sphere we ever made.
Oh, wow.
Yes, it's in process.
Okay. Well, that's great. I look forward to getting my hands on some of these forms and helping you guys.
And Doreen is a brilliant partner for problem solving on site and brainstorming.
She is.
So I hope that together we will,
She's had many problems to solve. She's really experienced at that. Is there anything else that you want people to learn? They can come along to the STEAM Center. I believe it's open on Saturday morning.
It normally opens at 10. Please check on the STEAM's website, because some of the evenings were open until 8. And some evenings, it's still 5. Okay. But I know on Saturday, we will be finishing at 5. But the STEAM Center itself may be open a bit later. You don't have to book to come. You just have to come.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Well, I hope lots of people listening will do exactly that and will show up with curiosity and enthusiasm. Collective Paper Aesthetics, Building Community Through Participatory Art, is open through February 28th at the Bledsoe Miller STEAM Center, just off Martin Luther King Drive. It's joyful, it's geometric, and you can get involved. The Waco Family and Faith International Film Festival runs from March 5th to 7th. And then there is such a lot coming up this next month. Waco Civic Theatre's production of 9 to 5, the musical, runs through March 1st, so don't miss that. Join Creative Waco on March 6th at Downtown Waco's First Friday to celebrate the completion of Bridges and Brazos, a street mural at 7th Street Plaza from 5:30 to 6:30, painted by our Art Apprenticeship High School artists. Visit Art Center of Waco for a triple treat: large-scale contemporary works, selections from the Cameron Collection, and If These Walls Could Talk, celebrating 50 years of album art. Gala season is here. Waco Civic Theatre's Curtain Up Gala is March 5th, and Silent House Theatre's Gala follows on March 6th. The Performing Arts Community Centre is bursting with spring break programming, including a theatre camp. And on March 19th, Waco Symphony welcomes celebrated cellist Sterling Elliott in a program that pairs new symphonic work with Beethoven's Fifth. There is so much going on. Make sure you check out all of our theatre companies, including Brazos Theatre. This is what creative abundance looks like. And whether it's through film, geometric architecture, a street mural painted by teenagers, or a symphony performance, empowered storytelling is what shapes a community. It tells us who we are, invites us to participate, and builds the structures, physical and cultural, that carry us forward. Waco's not just telling stories, we're writing them, building them, playing them, screening them, singing them, and you're invited to be part of that. I'm Fiona Bond, and this has been Conversations with Creative Waco. Until next time, stay curious and be creative.